Hello everybody and welcome to the latest Leisure Wheels podcast. Now, I've got Gigi here with me, my colleague, and I've been waiting weeks to ask him a question. You're now part of the new Avengers Age of Ultron movie was shot in South Africa.
Including the opening shot of the trailer. Did you know that's actually Johannesburg?
Yeah. Joburg.
Very cool.
And in that sequence, the Hulk picks up Polo Vivo and chucks it at Iron Man.
Right.
Now, we know that's not necessarily the best choice.
No.
So what I want to ask you, if you were the Hulk and you had to choose a typically South African model to chuck at Iron Man, which model would it be?
Hilux. Probably a Hilux.
Hilux is the first one that came to me as well.
A Land Cruiser.
The V8 model.
One with a nice replacement bull bar.
Exactly.
Maybe a winch that you can wrap around his neck. Exactly. Choke him out.
If you're going to go big, go big. Don't mess about with a Vivo.
That's beginner.
That's amateur stuff.
All right, so what are we talking about this week?
This week, we're only going to do two cars. But two fairly important cars. And not fairly... the two most important cars that will come around next year, I think.
Mm. These are really like... big cars. There's going to be a lot of anticipation.
Yeah, no, entirely new models, and some stuff we weren't expecting at all.
Mm.
The first is, I think the one we should start with is the XC90. All new Volvo XC90. First one in 12 years, I think.
Mm. Only took them 12 years.
12 years.
But you can see they took their time, but they've really gone back to the drawing board, and this is something completely new.
This is something new from the ground up. This is the it's the first car that was built since Volvo was bought by Geely, I think, bought them.
Mm.
So you can really see that investment from China going through. I mean,
another interesting thing is that this is the first completely Volvo, where for a very long time they've been in the hands of other companies, and there's always been some kind of sharing of platforms or engines or something.
Yeah.
But this is 100% of Volvo. They did everything. The platform, the engines, all new. And I think a lot of these things we're going to see in the other cars as well. During a presentation that I attended, they actually showed how easy it is to alter the platform.
Mm.
Almost the entire thing is flexible in terms of length. So there's really, they can do anything from a new C30 all the way up to a big XC90, essentially on the same platform.
With the same engines.
And then they've got these new engines. Apparently they're moving away from any kind of big engine.
Mm.
Never mind V8s, they're not even doing V6s.
Yeah, it's all four-cylinder.
But then really quite heavily turbocharged.
Yeah.
Twin turbos and that sort of thing.
Mercedes currently holds the record for output of a 2-liter turbocharged motor, which is in the GLA45.
Oh, yes.
260 kilowatts. I don't know how many newton meters, but Volvo is going to absolutely shatter that record when the XC90 arrives, because they're speaking about a 2-liter turbocharged four-cylinder engine with 330 kilowatts on tap.
That's ridiculous.
That's going to be, because it has to be reliable. You're just, Volvo's probably already tested it for like hundreds of thousands of kilometers. So it's absolutely magical. But let's work our way down from styling. You've actually seen it in the flesh.
In the flesh at the Volvo Ocean Race.
And
it's impressive. It's big. It's shiny. It looks like an expensive SUV. It was interesting during the presentation, the guy actually said the reality of it is an SUV is a status symbol. You need something that shows off a little bit. The fact is, if people spend that kind of money, they want a slightly pretentious over the top car. And he says you'll never say that in the advertising, but the reality is you need something that's aggressive in styling and that says I spent a lot of money on this car because I can. And you can see that it's a big car, it's impressive, it's formidable, especially if you see it from the front. They've got this lighting that they call Thor's Hammer.
Yeah.
And I think seeing that car in your rearview mirror is going to be quite intimidating.
Yeah.
So it's a big car that's going to go up against the X5.
Yeah.
And the Mercedes competing against that, the Audi. So I think they're really targeting the German premium brands.
Yeah.
Like, they admitted that they are a premium brand and they see themselves as such, but they're not quite there yet in a lot of markets. People don't put them up there with BMW and Mercedes. So the XC90 is the first car where they feel they've really gone that extra mile, where they're not only matching what the Germans are doing, but actually exceeding it. And I think you can see that, like, they've really gone all out to make this a incredibly impressive SUV.
And all signs are that it's going to be a big seller. They've they made something called the first edition, which was a limited edition you could only buy over the internet. And
sight unseen, yeah.
Yeah,
only exactly. Pictures that you've
only
seen.
Pictures you've seen. Nobody's driven it yet. They don't know how the engines are going to be, whatever. They made 1,200 and something of these cars, and it sold out within 36 hours.
Yeah, it was less than 48 hours, and they were all gone.
On the internet, this is without these people having seen the car in the flesh or driving it or whatever. It's just that's...
And one of them's coming here.
Yeah, actually. I can't recall who it sold to.
Lucas Radebe.
That's it.
Soccer player. He was actually there.
Yeah.
When we went to the Volvo Ocean Race, they invited him as well.
Okay.
Because that was literally the first time that he actually physically saw
the car.
The car.
In the flesh.
And he's already bought one.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, and I think they invited him along because that's exactly what they're trying to do. They want to start getting football players in their cars.
In their cars, yeah.
Like, I think Range Rover wants to get them out and Volvo wants to get them in because they do have that reputation as being kind of very safe but kind of boring.
Yeah.
And I think they want to get away from that reputation. And the way you do that is by attracting younger buyers.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do and how they do it. It's an incredibly impressive vehicle. I mean, the technology that they've got.
Yeah.
Is fascinating. Like, small things, for instance, the actual cabin of the vehicle is the subwoofer. They're the first company to have done this, which is something new, where the cabin is actually does the job that the traditional big box would do with a subwoofer. It's something that we don't really need here, but the air conditioning has a cleaning system that's apparently the best in the world. And if you're in Mexico City or Beijing or those kinds of countries and cities, it's actually useful to have a filter system in your car. And obviously safety. Once again, they've got the latest and greatest safety features.
Yeah, we expect nothing but the new XC90 setting a new standard for safety in that segment. It's always like when a new Volvo comes out in whichever segment, like it sort of sets the bar.
It does.
Happened with the V40. It's going to happen again with the XC90. The thing that stands out for me about the interior is how minimalist all they've gone with it.
Because in a
luxury car, you expect a lot of buttons that do a lot of things. But there's not a lot of buttons in the new XC90.
They actually spoke about that.
Yeah.
They said they counted on a premium SUV. The average number of buttons in the front is around 15. And they've got 8. So it's very clean. And it's very focused on the touchscreen that you use pretty much exactly like you would an iPad or something like that. And the vast majority of features are accessed through that. So you've got a couple of buttons, like the really crucial things you've got the buttons for. But for 99% of the features, you go to the touchscreen. And that's something they said was important, like giving people access to the capabilities. In their research, apparently, they found that a lot of people just don't use the features that a vehicle's got because they don't really know how to operate it. They don't know how to access it. So it just kind of sits in the back and it never gets used. So their aim is to make it as easy to operate as possible. And I suppose, like, Apple's iPad would be the kind of example. Like, it's so intuitive. You need something that's easy to use that makes sense. And I think this will do the job.
Yeah, no, I'm quite looking forward to that car. I think we can expect it in South Africa
around August next year.
That time, yeah.
But I see the pricing's already up on the Volvo SA website.
Yeah, starts at just over 800,000.
$795,000.
$795,000. Yeah.
So that's not too bad. I think that's quite, quite reasonable. It's a hell of a lot of money, but it's, I thought it was going to be more expensive than that. Yeah. But apparently there are quite a wide range, and they have very distinctive looks.
Yeah.
Because they also said, like, if someone's paying 1.4 million, they want people to be able to see that they bought the 1.4 million one and not the 800,000 one. So there's going to be quite a few differences. The kind of black one with that grill that that's used in all the marketing, that's top of the line. There's going to be some more plastics and that kind of thing in the cheaper models, but still, from a specification point of view, for 800,000, it's still going to be extremely well kitted.
Yeah, and we're getting a hybrid as well.
Apparently.
Mm.
Apparently.
Which, oddly enough, is also currently the performance model in the lineup, the one with the most power. And the lowest fuel consumption figure is the performance model, which is weird.
That's impressive.
Just, that just goes to show you how, I think Volvo claims something like 4.8 liters per 100 kilometers.
Which
for a petrol large SUV is unheard of.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's
so we'll see how it does. Then, I think it's kind of the beginning for a whole new range of vehicles coming out. They mentioned that this is obviously now their new SUV that's on the way, but in 4 years' time, that'll be the oldest vehicle that they sell. So we're going to see a lot of changes from them, and I think this gives you a good indication of what's going to happen with all the vehicles. It's all going to be similar interpretations. So very minimalist on the inside. Obviously, it's got that new grille with that new black badge, which I suppose will be standard across the new vehicles as well. Yeah. So I think it's an exciting time. It's going to be interesting to see where they are.
It's a revolution for the brand, which is quite like I'm happy Volvo is getting a lot of attention building new cars, because I've never, I don't know about you, but I've never driven a bad Volvo.
No.
I've never experienced a bad Volvo.
Lovely car.
Always lovely to live with. It's just you don't think about them when you think premium brands.
Apparently they sell around 400,000 at the moment, and they just had their best year ever, so they are doing well and they are growing. And I think they're really trying to reposition themselves as the alternative to the German brands, where traditionally the Volvo was kind of boring. They're kind of trying to turn that on its head and say, well, buying a traditional premium luxury car is boring, and this is kind of the alternative for people who want to stand out a little bit.
Exactly.
And I think they've got the marketing right, and they've got the product. Apparently, they're aiming for 800,000 vehicle sales a year. That's more or less what they're aiming for, which still isn't like Mercedes-Benz numbers, but I don't think they want to be that. They're not that big a company, but I think they can attain 800,000.
No, they can definitely, because this this new XC90 is definitely a big departure from the previous model.
Yes.
It's a big, big change.
Completely.
And another vehicle, the next vehicle we need to talk about, it, which is also a massive change, is the all-new Ford Everest, which we were expecting the front of a Ranger welded to a back of some generic SUV from Ford's lineup, but it turns out they actually went and built a new SUV.
I mean, it does look completely different.
It looks completely different.
It's interesting, though. I mean, the Ranger is probably due for quite a significant facelift.
Yeah.
So I suspect we'll probably see that new grille on the updated Ranger. But it's an attractive vehicle. It's really good looking.
Yeah.
I think it'll do well, based on looks.
It's obviously, you can see this is an American vehicle. I mean, there's no hiding that fact. There's a lot of chrome at the front.
They've taken a lot from the American kind of ideas.
I love it. I think it's magnificent. It's wonderful. I mean, it looks better than a Fortuner. It looks better than a Trailblazer. And, from there on, it's pretty much a straightforward Ford. It's based on the Ranger, so 2.2 diesel, 3.2 five-cylinder diesel. And Ford is also, they said it's going to come with a 2-liter petrol EcoBoost engine.
Okay.
Which I think it's the same mule they use in the Focus ST.
Okay.
Which I don't think that model will be coming to South Africa. I don't see the point, but
it's still quite cool if they're doing petrol and diesel.
And something interesting, it has like a terrain response kind of system as well.
Yeah.
Which, for a Bucky-based vehicle, like a Fortuner, Pajero Sport kind of vehicle, is quite a unique feature. I mean, you find it in the Disco and the Prado and a Grand Cherokee, but you don't find it in this level of vehicle.
No.
So that's a nice new addition.
I think what Ford did is, obviously nobody's ever been able to beat the numbers the Fortuner put up there since it was launched a few years ago. I think they constantly do 800 a month or something like that.
Yeah, they do incredibly well.
So the Oaks from Ford sat around the table, had a look at the Fortuner's figures, and they just said, like, well, let's do better on every single one of them. So off-road, this thing looks like it's going to be unstoppable. It's got a wading depth of 800 millimeters, which is good.
225 millimeters ground clearance, which is kind of like standard Bucky height, which is fine. That's good enough.
Yeah.
For most people, I think.
It's got that terrain response. It's got hill ascent and hill descent control. And
I assume it has a diff lock.
Yeah.
That was the problem with the previous one. Like, it didn't have a diff lock.
Yeah.
Which is very odd. I don't know why they decided to do that.
Yeah.
So, I assume it'll have that, because it does have impressive off-road features.
Yeah.
So, I think it's going to be a very competitive vehicle.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just, I can't wait to drive that car. Just on looks alone, I'm already sold on it. It looks absolutely fantastic.
It's a shame that it took so long. I mean, I can understand that it does, but already the kind of next generation Fortune is lurking around the corner.
Exactly.
So if they could have gotten this out 2 or 3 years ago, they would have had a market leader, I think. But now, it's going to be kind of the new best vehicle in the segment for a while, but then we're going to have to see what the Toyota Fortuner does. Yeah. So,
well,
interesting times ahead.
We've heard that we can expect the new Everest around, I think it was second or third quarter in 2015, which means it's going to be new and competing against the current Fortuner for around 6 or so months, because we know the new Fortuner is coming
same time as the Hilux.
As the Hilux, which will be by the end of 2015, early 2016. So it won't be the king for long, or it's sort of a pity it's only coming around now.
It took them a long time to make this, if you consider that it is running on the same engine and basic underpinnings of a Ranger. Why did it take that long when the Fortuner and the Hilux is coming out at the same time?
And it actually, by keeping the old Everest around like they did, I think they actually did more damage to the brand name than if they had just removed it from the lineup. Because they sell very few of them.
They do.
And it's still very old school, previous generation Ranger.
I must admit, I like it. I mean, I like that old school. It looks like those kind of older American
station wagon,
boxy square.
Yeah,
SUVs, and I like the styling of it, but it's not modern. Not a lot of people, I think, it.
It received a facelift around this time last year, but there was just no hiding the fact that it was old. It was based on old technology.
There's only so much you can do. It's still quite a kind of a narrow track.
Yeah,
it doesn't have that big wide stance that you have with the modern vehicles. Mm. So you can't hide its age.
Yeah. So it's about time that the new one is coming, and we're quite happy a new one is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we didn't think about this one, but let's chat about that quickly as well. The new Triton.
Oh, of course, yeah. Big news.
I think that's worth, we can maybe go into it a bit more next time,
but
just to mention the details of it, because I think you actually spoke to the local guys and got some insight into when we can expect it.
Yeah, this the Triton sort of snuck up on us. We had no idea we were going to see the first pictures quite this soon.
Annoying teasers and images and things. Just
pre-reveals and whatever. And it was just, we got here one Triton. Morning. Here's the Triton. Yeah, it is. it's coming. It's all new. Also coming in 2015. Same engines as we currently found in the Triton, which the most important one is that 2.5 diesel they introduced. It was late last year. That's going to be carried over, and they've designed an all new 2.4 liter turbo diesel 4-cylinder, which has more power and more torque than the 2.5.
I wonder what the point of that is. Like,
there's actually a very good reason behind it. They at the time of they put out the press release, they also released a video of the product designer, and the video says that they focus quite a lot on making the new Triton more refined, easier to live with on a day-to-day basis, like people who drive a bucky in the city or as a leisure vehicle, family vehicle, whatever.
Like the Amarok does well.
Exactly, yeah. So, and this new 2.4 diesel was designed with that in mind to reduce vibration and noise, and so that's the reason they just wanted a smoother diesel engine to go with their new smoother diesel bucky.
So why keep the 2.5 around?
I don't know, it's probably going to be like, it's probably cheaper.
Yeah, it'll probably be a more affordable, maybe more of the workhorse kind of.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough sell to tell people, listen, like, that.
The 2.4 is better, yeah.
It's better, yeah, than 2.5, but yeah, that's how it sometimes works.
And the styling? What do you think that?
Well, I'm not 100% sold on it yet.
No, I'm not either.
They've got a lot going on there for a bucky. Like, there's only so much you can do with a bucky.
Yes.
And this is, Mitsubishi has done too much with a bucky, in my opinion.
And that controversial kind of weird load area from the previous one is stuck around. Apparently, that's a safety thing. In terms of crash impact, that's the best option.
Yeah.
But it's not the most attractive look.
And the front is, that's a bit...
very shiny.
It's a lot. A lot of bling. To take in.
But also, we haven't seen proper pictures of it. Like, they have released a lot of pictures, but they're kind of these digital impressions of it almost. It's not a proper photograph of it on a road or something. I'd like to see it in the flesh.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of tough to judge what it's going to look like based on the pictures we've seen.
And we assume the one we've seen so far is probably a top of the line model, which will come with the chrome whatever at the front.
Yeah,
we suppose like there will be other models that will be more, be toned down a bit.
Yes.
With a black grill and all of that. The other thing with this car as well is the same trend we spoke about on the XC90 is Mitsubishi has gone minimalist with the interior, also removed a lot of the buttons, but they also say that they've pushed quality up quite a bit, so they're looking to set a new standard in terms of comfort and refinement.
Yeah, the previous Triton has been around for quite a while.
Yeah, it
and
has.
If you get into it now, it's very plasticky. Like, there's a lot of hard plastics, and so I can imagine there's going to be a significant upgrade.
Yeah,
where that's concerned.
Yeah, the interior looks. It looks almost exactly like the one in the Outlander, which isn't a bad thing because Outlander is quite a nice car.
The cabin is nice. I mean,
it's lovely.
I drove that, and there's a screen and a DVD player in the back.
Yeah,
I was amazed. It's just like I thought it was some kind of storage bin or something.
Yeah. And you push it and it just
Drops the screen. So that's kind of impressive.
Yeah. So that's also something we can look forward to. It's I mean, we don't know yet if the new Navara is coming next year.
Yes, we've seen it. They've kind of released it, but they can't tell us
where they're going to build it.
So it might have been a bit of a premature unveiling.
Yeah, so we don't know if that's coming, but I mean, the bucky segment's going to be huge.
The next year or two is going to be busy. A lot of new
we'll get more into that next time, but Gijs just returned from the launch of the new Steed 6, which is now in South Africa. A new Triton is coming. A new Navara may be coming. We know a new Hilux is coming.
And I really think a Ford Ranger facelift, substantial facelift, is imminent, because that's gone pretty much unchanged the last 4 years or so.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But next week we'll chat about the Steed 6.
Yeah.
And we can talk about the Steed 5e as well, which is a new upmarket version of the Steed 5 that they've launched. But we'll chat about that next week.
I'm going to go drive a Touareg as well, a facelifted Touareg.
So we can talk about that.
Yeah.
And we'll chat about all of that next week. So until then, cheers.
Cheers.